team preaching tonight, I'm excited. I have to see what the Lord's going to do tonight through myself and brother Randall. Amen, brother Randall. Amen. So I thank the Lord for what the Lord is doing in Randall's life. Amen. And he's had some rough patches. Amen. But I thank the Lord that God knows how to draw us a little bit close to Himself. Amen. And I like that. Amen. That lets me know that the Bible's real. Amen. The Bible's real, and it talks about that God knows how to restore. He knows how to rekindle. He knows how to refire. Amen. He knows how to stir up. Just let them. Amen. Praise God. Let me get out of the way. Let's get this thing going. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Here we go, brother. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Any good being in the house of the Lord?
Amen. Amen.
Let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. 1 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. And Hiram, king of Tyre, sent his servants unto Solomon, for he had heard that they had anointed him king in the room of his father. For Hiram was ever a lover of David. And Solomon sent to Hiram, saying, Thou knowest how that David my father could not build the house unto the name of the Lord his God, for wars which were about him on every side, until the Lord put them under the sole of his feet. But now, the Lord my God hath given me rest on every side, so that there is neither adversary nor evil or friend. And behold, I propose to build a house unto the name of the Lord my God, as the Lord spoke unto David my father, saying, Thy son, whom I will set upon my throne, in the room he shall build an house unto my name. Now therefore, command thou that they hew my cedar trees out of Lebanon, and my servant shall be with thy servant, and unto thee I will give hair for thy servants according to all that thou shalt appoint. For thou knowest that there is not among us any that can skill to hew timber like unto the Sidonians. And it came to pass, when Hiram heard the words of Solomon, that he rejoiced greatly and said, Blessed be the Lord this day, which hath given unto David his wife's son over this great people.
Amen.
And Hiram sent to Solomon, saying, I have considered the thing which thou hast sent to me for, and I will do all thy desires concerning timber and cedar and concerning timber of fir. Dear Heavenly Father, I come before you, Lord.
Yes, so help us.
I ask you, Lord, please give me your wisdom and strength in your body, Lord, in your boldness.
Yes, sir.
Touch my lips, brothers, as well as pastors, Lord.
Yes, sir, help us.
We need you here now. I need you to pass by us, Lord, and stay for a while, Lord. Not just here, Lord, but I want you to come home with me, Lord.
Yes, sir.
I want you to be in every part of my life, Lord.
Yeah.
Please, Lord, I need your strength.
Please, Master, we beg in the name of Jesus.
We need to be about our children as well, Lord. We need to be good role models for our children.
Yes, sir.
Not the world, but us, Lord.
Yes.
I want my son to see you in me, Jesus.
Yes, Lord, help us. Help us.
I ask you now, Lord, please be among us, Lord.
Please, Lord Jesus. Yeah.
Lord, please strengthen us and encourage us.
Mm-hmm.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Just want to look at the word here, because I want to go back to verse 7. And it says, And it came to pass, when Hiram heard the words of Solomon, that he rejoiced greatly and said, Blessed be the Lord this day, which had given unto David a wise son over this great day. Here we see someone who is not a Jew, who's not part of the tribe of Israel at all. No. And here he is praising the Lord. Soon as Solomon gives him the good news about, I want your help to build my house.
Yeah.
It is unbelievable. Here we see this man. And so it indicates right here in Scripture that he must have knew the Lord because he was praising the Lord. Praising the Lord for Solomon and his wisdom and for David. And the whole point is like, the whole point of this message, are you joyful when you're asked to do something for God? Are you joyful? Like this man was, there's many aspects to being joyful, and people don't understand. Best way to say it, I've been backslidden for a long period of time. Since I can tell you for a fact, since I've been laid off from work, I've been in deep depression. I didn't have joy.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, my faith was just almost gone. I felt nothing. I couldn't even stand being here. I'll be quite honest.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, I couldn't stand none of you at one point. I really could not stand. I had no joy.
Amen.
I had no peace. I had nothing. And I forgot my joy of my salvation.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. And the Lord reminded me after I had this weird thing going on my arm. Lord reminded me, it's like, I gave this to you because I want you to know that I am your God.
Yes, sir.
I had this, I forget, what was it called, sir? Impetigo on my arm. Children get this. Obviously, you can tell I'm not a child. Here, I got this. It's like, why am I getting this? Because then I start thinking, it's like, man, why? Lord, forgive me, because I have been acting like a child. I've been blaming him for everything. Why everything bad? I got jealous. I mean, how many times I see you guys get a blessing? I get mad. It's like, what about us?
Yeah.
Where's my blessing?
Yeah.
It made me more angrier and angrier. And I get more selfish, more bitter, more angrier.
Yep.
And here, I lost my joy. It's as simple as that. I lost my joy. I lost my faith. Doesn't mean you lose your salvation.
Right.
Because that's, people says, well, how can you tell when your parent loves you when he whips you?
The Bible says. This
thing going on with me, it just brought me back. So he'll whip his own. He had to remind me, he said, I'm his, and I'm not giving up on you.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm whipping you right now. I remind you, you're acting like a child. It's time to act like a man.
Come on.
I called you to be a preacher. Now
yeah.
Start acting like a preacher.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Stop acting like a fool.
Right.
Praise me, because I deserve it. I saved your soul.
Amen.
And the Lord has just been, since it's been about a month now since I've been back, it's like 2 days before Pastor said about acting preaching, I asked the Lord, do you want me to preach, Lord? I understand if you don't want nothing to do with me anymore with preaching. It's to me a sign of...
Bless him, Lord. Bless him. Bless him.
You want me to preach for it?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. And sure enough, come to you and say, Pastor said for heaven's sake, thank you, Lord.
Amen. 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 Amen.
I have other things to say, but oh well. All I can say is God's good.
Amen. Amen.
I've noticed I can actually just raise my hands to the Lord and praise Him. Say yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
I couldn't shout before. I had no joy.
Yeah.
I wasn't joyful about nothing.
Amen.
I just thank you, Lord, for all that you've done.
Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Amen. I tell you what, and that's a good question we need to ask ourselves. You know, am I joyful when God asks me to do something? Amen. And when you look into the story, I tell you what, if you're backslidden and away from God, you're not going to be excited when God comes by and asks you to do anything. Amen. Because you're like, wow, I want to run for you. Amen. Because of the state that you're in. Amen. But when you and I respond the right way, like Hiram responded, I think we respond the right way. The Bible said in verse number 7, when Solomon came in, the Bible said in verse 7, and it came to pass when Hiram heard the words of Solomon, that he got depressed and sad and started pouting. No, the Bible says that he did what? He rejoiced, not a little bit, but greatly. Amen. He greatly rejoiced, the Bible says. He greatly rejoiced and said, blessed be the Lord this day, which have given unto David a wise son over this great people. In other words, I'm excited about what God has for me to do. Amen. And he had rejoicing and he had joy. And you and I being saved by the grace of God, we need to be excited when God comes by, knocks on our door, amen, and asks us to do something for the cause of Christ. Look at me to Isaiah 61, verse 10. Isaiah 61, verse 10. The Bible says this in Isaiah 61 and verse number 10. The Bible says this, and catch a hold of this verse and then let it sink in. The Bible says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For why? 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 For he have clothed me with the garments of what? Salvation. He said, he's clothed me with salvation. He have covered me with a robe of righteousness as a bridegroom decketh himself with ointments and as a bride adorned herself with her jewels. And when you have a wedding, we're going to be having one with Elena, and she's going to have on a nice pretty dress, and he's going to have on a nice suit. They're going to have themselves decorated, and they're going to be excited. We know what, my dear friends, we've been saved by the grace of God. We need to be rejoicing and have excitement in our heart and in our soul. Look with me over the 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 8. The Bible says this, and all these messages, by the way, these guys from all together, I'm just jumping in, amen, and it's good stuff. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 8. The Bible says this, who, whom having not seen, you love, in whom, though now you see him not, talking about Jesus, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy, there it is, guys, unspeakable and full of glory. We have never seen Jesus, but yet we love him. That reminds me of a verse over there in 1 John chapter number, I believe it's in chapter number 1, 2, 3, or 4. I'll go to 1 John, amen. And now look what it says over here in 1 John. And the Bible talks about this love, amen. I look at 1 John, look at chapter number 2. Drop down, and the Bible says this. He says, my soul, he, verse 9, he that said he is a light and hated his brother is in what? Darkness. Even to now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. And there's another verse, move over there to chapter number 4, and the Bible says this. Verse number 20, chapter 4, verse 20. If a man say, I love God, and what? Hateth his brother. Now don't get mad at me. He said he's a liar. He said he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen. How can he love God and whom he hath not seen? So how in the world is it possible for you and I to say, I love God who I don't see, but yet I say I hate my brother who I see? God said, I didn't say it. God said somebody lying. It ain't God. God said we liars, amen. This is my dear friends. But when we do love God, when we do love the brethren, when we do have that love in our hearts, and when God asks us to do anything for him for the cause of Christ, we are going to have joy and rejoicing. When God tapped me on the shoulder and called me to preach, man, I ran for 4 months, but then I stopped running and started rejoicing, amen, hallelujah, and started preaching the word. Listen. This ain't a chore. This is not a chore, amen. Listen, I love this, amen. I love preaching the Word of God. I like taking the Word of God and giving it to somebody, and then they catch it, and they apply it, and then watch their lives change before our very eyes. That's the power of the Word of God. No matter what God's asked you to do, do it with joy. Why? Because He asked you. Think about that. He asked you. And if God asks you, it must mean He has confidence in you. And if God has confidence in you, then more than likely, let me move out to more than likely, you are able to do whatever God has asked you to do. How should we respond? And the first point here is simply this. How's your attitude? How's your attitude when God asks you to do something? Are you excited? Or are you pouting? But why don't you ask somebody else? This man here said, man, we get to do this, to build the temple. I don't know about you, but I think I want to start more rejoicing and start pouting. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Let's go back to 1 Kings chapter 5, verse 5 and 6. And behold, I purpose to build an house unto the name of the Lord.
Amen.
My God, as the Lord spoke unto David, my father, saying, thy son, whom I am so set upon,
yeah.
To all that thou shalt appoint, for thou knowest that there is not among us any that can skill the hew and timber like unto question is, are we joyful when God calls us to do the labor? Here now, He's out in the midst. We can't do the labor, but you guys can.
Come on.
Now, we see in verse 7, He is rejoicing in building the temple. We see here, we see Haman, the king, saying, I'm going to do it. Now I'm going to have my men, my people who serves me, are going to do it, and they're going to help you.
Yeah.
Help the Jews to do God's business. Now here, we see flat out right here, we see the purpose. We see, this is remarkable. When we can't do it, it's okay to ask for help.
Yeah.
And here we see Solomon say, hey, we can't do this. I desire to finish what my father, my dad David, was starting to do. I desire it, and I'm going to do it. And plus, my God told me to do this. That's why I'm telling you, I need you to do this. Mm-hmm. And now, it's like, since I can't fully do it, now this, remember, he said at this time, the wisest man in the world.
Yeah.
God gave him so much wisdom. It's like, hey, I can't do this.
Right.
But you guys can.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
If you
amen.
Verse 6, it says, servant shall be with thy servants. So he's saying, guess what? I'm going to send my people with your people who knows what they're doing.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, amen.
So I was like, amen to God. That if you design to do something, even when you don't know how to do it, there's only people that does know how to do it.
Yeah.
And they're going to do it, and they're going to teach you how to do it.
Yes, sir.
So where you won't be on your own, and it's going to be, and the remarkable thing, everyone's happy about this.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, here, and we see in verse 8, this says, and Haran sent Solomon, saying, I have considered life, and he thought about it, debated about it, and says, yes, and we already know in verse 7, he said, I'm going to do it no matter what. But like he's trying to show up, like you're being all dignified and saying, okay, I'm going to do it. And here we see, it says, the things which thou sent to me for, I will do all I desire. I'm going to do everything you ask me to do.
Yeah, yeah.
I have no problem at all, because I rejoice in building the temple.
Amen.
I'm here to serve the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Simple as that. I'm here to serve the Lord. And my question is, again, are we willing to labor for the Lord? Do we have joy in it when we labor for the Lord? Do we? Because, like I was just saying earlier, I didn't have joy in anything I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Simple as that. And here we can sometimes rub up against other people that are joyful in the Lord. Because in the definition of joyful, it says full of joy, feeling, expression, or cause of joy. When you're around someone who's joyful, it's contagious.
Yeah.
And it helps when you got someone like King Haran, who's just as excited as Solomon is to build a temple, and say, I'm going to have my servants do it. I'm going to help your people able to train them and able to build a temple. It helps to be excited.
Yeah.
Around other people.
Yeah.
When you're around, Sarah can tell you, I look at a cup half empty. She looks at it half full. She has to get away from me. I bring her down. Especially on what I've been going through, I was bringing her down. We'd be fighting.
Mm-hmm.
She told me, I said, I'm not going to let you stop me. I'm going to the house of the Lord.
Amen.
She told me that to my face. It's like, amen. It's like, I don't care what you do. It's like, if you want to come, come. If you don't, don't.
Hmm.
It's like, she wasn't going to let me bring her down.
Amen.
So she just stayed focused on the Lord. And that's what's amazing about this.
Amen.
Here we see when you stay with someone who's positive, who's focused on the Lord, who's joyful in the Lord, who delights in the Lord in every aspect of their life.
Yeah.
It's remarkable how it works.
Yeah. Amen. 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 But I tell you what, amen. First point, how's your attitude? Secondly, are you willing to labor for the Lord? Amen. But then thirdly, not only that, are you willing to labor for the Lord, but are you joyful to take time for the Lord? Are you joyful to take time for the Lord? Because sometimes when you're serving the Lord, it takes time. It takes time. Run with me over to 1 Kings chapter 6 and verse number 37. 1 Kings chapter 6, verse number 37. The Bible says this, in the fourth year was a foundation of a house of the Lord laid in the month Ziph. And the Bible says, and in the 11th year, in the month Bul, which is the 8th month, was a house, watch it, finished throughout all the parts thereof, and according to all the fashion of it. So was he 7 years building it. Hello. 7 years. I mean, wait a minute. You know, we live in an instant society. We want everything quick, 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 quick. Okay, I'm going to talk to God about this situation. God, I need to take care of this situation for me. Man, what's taking the Lord so long? 7 years, my friends, they spent working for the Lord. And sometimes when God's called us to do something for Him, it takes time. It's going to take some time. It's going to take some sweat. It may be some years. But in fact, when Jesus came and died on the cross for us, He took the time out to come here, to suffer, to go through things for you and I, so you and I might have life eternal. But let me ask ourselves this question. What question is that? Are you joyfully taking time for the Lord? What you mean, preacher? Am I kind of metal? Okay. Am I excited when it comes time to read my Bible? Am I excited when it comes time to pray? Am I excited when it comes time to worship? Or do I go, oh, man, what time is it? Oh, it's 8:45. Man, we got to get going. Depending on how far you live from the church, hey, man. Listen, my dear friends. Wait a minute. For most of us, worship starts, watch this, not at 6, not at 7, not at 8, not at 9, not at 10, but 11 o'clock. What time you be at work?
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. Where's your mama go? She in the nursery? Okay. All right. What time is your mama have to be at work?
Same time.
8 o'clock. Okay. Did I get there the same time? Nobody's late? Not usually. Okay, what time you had to be at work?
8:05,
amen. What time you got to be at work? Okay, forget it. Just see, amen. Amen. What time you got to be at work? 6. You go in at midnight, don't you? He works midnight, man. My soul. What time you got to be at work, Christina? 7:15. Brother Russell? 8 o'clock, okay, all right. What time you got to be there? 5:15 in the morning. Now listen, nobody said, except you know, Steve, nobody said 11 o'clock, amen, that they had to be at work, amen. But think about it. Worship don't start till 11. 11 o'clock. And guess what? We're normally out of here by 12:30, 12:45, an hour and 15 minutes. And we were like, oh, my whole day, I meant stop. We had church the whole day, man. I mean, you start adding up how much time you're actually in church on Sunday. And my, it ain't even 8 hours. It's not even 8 hours. But you know what? It's amazing how we don't have joy when it comes time to spend with the Lord. But we should be excited. Man, I can't wait to sit down at the master's table and to feast off the manna that God's going to give me from the word of God. Amen. What are you saying, preacher? Are you joyful to take time for the Lord? My time is gone. Amen. Hallelujah. It was never flipped. Amen. I probably got more time. But you go ahead. He set me up. Amen. Yeah.
Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give not grudgingly or of necessity for God. God loves a cheerful giver.
Yes, sir.
This next question is, are you joyful when you give unto the Lord? Are you joyful?
Mm-hmm.
Is there any joy when you give unto the Lord?
Yeah.
Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon, my son, whom alone God had chosen to set a young and tender, yet is young and tender, and the work is great. For the place is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God. that gold, for things to be made of gold, and the silver for things for silver, and the brass of things of brass, the iron for things of iron, and the wood of things of wood, oxen stone and stone to be set, flemingstone stone, and the diverse colors, and all manner of precious stones, and marble stones, and abundant. And basically, in verse 2, David says, I'm taking stuff out of my own house. I'm giving gold, silver, and all these precious stones to the temple of the Lord. I'm giving to the Lord himself.
Yeah.
And here, moreover, because I have set my affection, to the house of my God, I have of my own proper good of gold, silver, and I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for that holy house, even 3,000 talents of gold, and of the gold of Ephrah, and 7,000 talents of refined silver, and overlay the walls of the house within. And the gold of these things, the gold and silver for these things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of artificers, and who then is willing to consider his service this day unto the Lord. Here, David is, from 6 through 10, he's challenging his people. Are you joyful in giving to the Lord? We're making a temple, and we need you guys to give unto the Lord. And we need you to give.
Yeah.
He's saying, I'm doing it willingly because I love the Lord. I'm giving my stuff to the Lord. Silver, gold, everything that's precious to him, he's giving unto the Lord. You look, Solomon, his son's serving the Lord. Because here we see, after Solomon built the temple, he put everything into his son to finish his work. Because God told him, you can't finish building the temple. You can't even start it.
Right.
But guess what? Your son will. And because he put effort, laid down the foundation, raising him up in the Lord, his son now can finish it.
Amen.
And Bob, I remember you preaching about being about your father's business.
Mm-hmm.
Are you about your daddy's business?
Yeah.
Or are you about the world's business?
Amen.
That's why it's so important, Dad, to be joyful in the Lord.
Amen.
It shows your children what you believe in.
Yes, sir.
Because if you don't give what you care about the most, you see Abraham willing to sacrifice his son.
Preacher.
For the Lord. What are you willing to sacrifice for the Lord?
Amen.
You sacrifice time, money, patience. Are you willing to sacrifice? Are you willing to give what's most dear to you? Unfortunately, I know people in my family say money is the most important thing.
Yeah.
They won't step foot in church. They rather work on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So they're saying their love of money is their God. It's the saddest thing I've ever seen. I tried talking to them, tried witnessing to them, share the gospel. Their God is money.
Yeah.
Here we see David says, I don't care about money. It's his in the first place. I'm giving it back to him.
Yes, sir.
So my question is to you, where's your joy when you give unto the Lord? Are you giving everything you got that's precious to you? God said, Jesus said himself, lay not your treasures here on earth. Lay it in heaven.
Amen, amen.
What are we laying here? This is going to be destroyed. God said he's going to destroy the world anyways.
Yeah.
So what's the point? What are we doing?
Yeah.
So the question is, are we giving to the Lord?
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. While we're there in verse in chapter 29, First Chronicles, if you drop down to verse number 9, the Bible says this. The Bible says, then the people rejoiced for that they offered what?
Willingly.
Because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord, and David the king also rejoiced with great joy. Flip back over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 9 and drop down again in verse number 6. The Bible says this in chapter 9 verse number 6, 2 Corinthians. But this I say. Now watch, this is a principle, folks. This ain't hard math. The Bible says this. But this I say. He which soweth what?
Sparingly.
Don't be afraid. Sparingly. You know what that word means in the Greek? Stingily. Oop. The Bible says this. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly or stingily shall reap also sparingly or what? Stingily. And he which soweth bountifully, that means largely, shall reap also what? Bountifully. Hello? We be wondering, why am I, are you stingy? I don't know where we're going. Are you stingy? If you are stingy, then you're going to reap stinginess. Amen. Okay, if you are a giver, if you give bountifully, then you're going to reap bountifully. That's the principle of the Bible. I mean, that's God's word. He said it, my friends. And the thing about it, what we do is we think the opposite is going to happen. If I hang on to everything, you know, then it's going to stay. But think about this for a minute, y'all. Think about this for a minute. You ever tried to hang on to something as long as you could? Ain't it amazing how much it just goes? It's like, man, it is like it just runs. Like it is going. But when you're more generous, it's amazing how like it just keeps coming. And I'm talking about, you know, we're not just talking about money, folks. It's the principle. Okay, you want love? Do you give it? Or you stingy? You know, you want friends? I ain't got no friend. Why? Why don't people just don't like me? Are you friendly? The Bible says that the man that had many friends or something like that must show himself to be friendly. Amen? You know, I mean, but if you walk around like this, some folks are scared of you. They say, well, I don't think they want nobody to talk to them. I mean, look at them. They're like that. They walk around. They're mean mugging people, you know. I mean, I remember, I'll never forget, I was in a grocery store, and I seen one of our members' relative was in the store. And when I saw him, you know, and I didn't really know it was a member, but I'm just, you know, and I just smiled, you know. And they was like, I said, man, what's wrong with that person? Then I seen my member later. I was talking about this store that I was at, and they described this person to them. I said, yeah, I said, that's my cousin. I said, see, they always look like that. I said, they look at me like, you know, what's wrong with him? I'm being happy. I'm sorry, you know. But listen, my dear friends, I mean, I'd rather be happy than to have the pooch mouth, amen. But it's the same thing, my dear friends. Listen, you want to get, give. But now, if you're doing microphone for a minute, Brett, if you like this, I'm going to give you something. Hold on, man. Can you just get a little piece? Just a little small. There you go. That's good enough. Okay. You see, show them what you got. Amen. That's all he got right there. Guess what? That's how I'm going to get it back in return. That's how I'm going to get it back in return. It's amazing. It's amazing how it's like it goes against natural principles, but it's the true principle. See, some people think that the way I'm going to get is to accumulate, accumulate, accumulate. And you can't. Listen, what blows my mind is this. I'm serious. It just, oh, my Lord. Listen, some people that make a certain amount of money, Sister Sharon, it blows me away how they ain't never got no money. I'm like, man, if I just made a portion of that, man, I'd be happy, I'd just be excited, amen. I mean, but you know what? But then most of the time, when I look at them, I see they're also the kind of person. It's like you know, no, I get, you know, I had a friend of mine, I love him to death, I really do. But he would always tell me, I'm broke. I said, you broke? I work with a lady on my job. She says same thing. I'm broke. She says, look at my check. She showed me her check. It was like $67 and change. I'm like, well, I guess she is broke. I said, wait a minute. Okay, this much is going to this account. This much over here is going to this. This much is going. She wasn't really broke. But she walked around like she was broke. But she was just stacking up and stacking up. I'm like, wait a minute. Listen. I ain't got a whole lot. But you know what? I'm happy. I'm serious, you know. I mean, and it's not because I'm trying to get. Listen. Okay. Oh, it's gone, ain't it? Which last point anyway, could have done. But nonetheless, though, I mean, really, if I was in this, it's like some people call it this preaching thing. If I was in this for the money, guys, I'd have been gone a long time ago. I'm being honest. I mean, there's places that have asked me about, you know, preaching or whatever. I'm like, you know, that's what the Lord's called me to do. But then you see, listen, I'm telling you. When a person got an office is almost the size of this room, that's the office. I ain't talking about the sanctuary. You know, well, I mean, they got this. But you know what? If I was in for that, I'd be like, you know, well, I really feel like the Lord is calling me to go over to yonder place, amen. But it ain't about that stuff. You know, I'd rather be here and have the joy of the Lord and then seeing us reaching We reach thousands of people. Y'all don't really, some of y'all don't grasp that. We reach thousands of people. There are people that are watching the services right now. Folks will be watching the services later. Well, we've got sermon audio. I forgot how many thousands of people have listened to sermons on sermon audio. I mean, we are reaching people, my friend, by the thousands. By literally the thousands. And when they think about Sunrise Church, I'm telling y'all the truth. When they think about Sunrise Church, they think Sunrise Church, the ones who ain't been here, they think we got some huge church. And they're like, ooh, man, I can't wait to come. Y'all church, y'all like six times bigger than we are. I mean, but you know what? It ain't about that. It ain't about that. One thing I can always say, I've been always say about this church, is that we have been a loving and a giving church. Yes, we have battles and struggles like anybody else, but we have been a loving church. When preachers come in this building, they say, man, the freedom and the liberty we have when we stand to preach. Oh, y'all don't realize, some of the guys that come in to preach, they preach like a lot of big, huge places, and they can't wait to come to Sunrise because they love the presence of God that's here. And if we keep giving to the Lord of ourselves, God can continue to give himself to us, and we'll have that joy. We'll have that victory. And I'm going to tell you what, my dear friends, he'll just blow our minds with one thing after another. But that's as a whole. But let's bring it down home. How about individually? What you talking about now, preacher? A lot of us can love each other and love others, but when it comes to the ones in our household, it's a lot different. Some of us can give to one another like you can't believe it. But if it came to giving some time to one of our kids or our spouse, we ain't have time. Hey, I've been guilty. And sometimes Jolene will say, she want to ask me something. I'm wore out, tired. I get there, I'm like, she goes, you got time for everybody else, but you ain't got no time for me. You speaking in tongues now? Yeah. Then somebody like Tony Evans, I read some of his stuff, and he'll just make you just sink. That I'm supposed to be my wife's sanctifier. I'm like, what? I'm supposed to be my wife's savior. Say what? All that's in the book of Ephesians chapter number 5. I mean, he breaks that thing down. Now I realize it ain't about me at all. And you know what? When I don't focus so much on me, and I focus more on my family, it's amazing how things are so much better in our homes. Now, I think about the other day, I just whatever was going on with me. Sometimes you have little personal things go with yourself. You just be like personally jacked up. But I remember I was a little bit better that day, and Joelene was different. She was laughing. She was cutting up. I'm like, whoa. See, it started right here, buddy. It started right here. I'm telling you guys, God has put us in a position as men. And we are supposed to lead. How are we leading? Well, I thought she ain't trained for. Okay, how are you trying to lead? Well, I mean, she won't. How are you trying to lead? Is he leading you? Who? That's my whole problem right there. You wonder who am I talking about? Is Jesus leading you? If he ain't leading you, then they don't want to follow you. But you start following Jesus. And I'm gonna tell you what. It's amazing. Some preacher brought this out. How God has so fixed it that the wife, Christian wife, doesn't have a hard time following a husband that's following Jesus. There's something built in that's like it's just automatic. But when you've got a Christian wife that has a Christian husband but ain't following Christ, you know what happens, man? She's like, I don't know if I don't. You sure we need to go down that road? Well, I'm ahead. This ain't the right way. I know it ain't the right way. All right, I'm going to go around. Boom, we in an accident, a spiritual accident, Wait a minute. The Bible says that Christ is supposed to be the head of the husband, and the husband's the head of the wife. But if Christ ain't the head of the husband, then everything else is going to fall apart. It's going to fall apart. How do you know that? That's what it says. That's what it says. Folks, we can have joy in serving God, and we can rejoice in serving God. So, preacher, that ain't part of the message. Serving God is being the right type of husband. That's part of serving God. Being a wife, that's part of serving God, my friends. Being a son or a daughter, that's part of serving God. How are you serving God? What's the title of the message? The title of the message is this. Are you joyful when asked to do something for God? Are you joyful when God asks you to do something for your family? Are you joyful when God asks you to do something on your job? Well, bunch of heathens! Read that book, man. It talks about how you should be on your job as well, as a Christian, as a believer. And you'll be amazed at how God will bless you. Okay, we got three questions or six or something like that. We got three questions. Our first question is this. Are you joyful when the Lord calls on you? Are you joyful? Secondly, do you want to have joy of your salvation again? What did David say in Psalm 51, verse number 12? Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. But joy is gone. It's because of sin, of course, in that situation. The last question is this. Do you want joy? So I said, yeah. Well, then let's come and spend some time with Jesus. Father, thank you for your many wonderful blessings. Thank you for the message. I thank you, Lord, for the messenger. I thank you, Lord, for the word of God. And I do pray, God, that even right now, these people ask ourselves the question, are we joyful when it comes to serving God? Then somebody might be asked this question. Am I even serving God? Father, help us to respond to whatever you are saying to us as individuals, as well as, Father, collectively. And for that, God, we'll praise you. God, this is time. It's a time to spend with you at this moment. Perhaps somebody wants to spend that time with you. Somebody want to come and listen to you. Not say a word, but listen. If someone else might want to converse with you, open up themselves to you. You're a good listener. You're a good helper. But I pray, God, that whatever needs are tonight, help us respond by talking to you and listening and following the directions and receive the victory. That's it for now, Father. If there's anything else, someone needs to come for them, come on, because you want them. For it's in your son's name we pray. Jesus, amen. Amen. Let's all stand. Maybe we'll come talk to the Lord for a few moments. You know that he definitely wants to come and talk to you. He wants to talk to you. Let's turn over to, let's turn over to page 153. 153, the song says, Lord, I'm coming home. Amen. It's time to go back to the Father's house. I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The path of sin too long I have trod. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home, coming home. Never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love. Lord, I'm a coming home. Brother Russell, pray for us. Be seated. I've wasted many precious years. Now I'm a coming home. I now repent with a bitter tears. Lord, I'm a coming home, coming home, coming home, and then.